Good morning, everyone. This is the recorded morning service for Sunday the 6th of June from Warrington and St Andrew's Cheam United Reformed Churches. The service today is led by one of our elders, Dr Alan Crouchley. During the service, we will celebrate Holy Communion. If you would like to join with us, you may wish to have bread and wine or juice available before you start listening.
May I add my welcome to you all as we gather for this act of worship. It is a privilege to be able to share this service with you all, and I pray that my thoughts and reflections will resonate with you, and that through them you will be reminded, refreshed, and reassured of God's deep love for each of us. Let us prepare ourselves then for worship. Loving God, we come together as your people wherever we can meet, to worship you and to pray for one another, to rejoice that we are your family, to acknowledge our need of each other, and to reaffirm our faith in you. God of all, as one family, we worship you. We are mothers and fathers, we are sisters and brothers, and we worship you. We are sons and daughters, aunts and uncles, grannies, granddads, and we worship you. We are cousins and neighbours, friends and colleagues, and we worship you. As your family, as your church, as your community, we gather together to worship you. Our opening hymn, Come Now Is the Time to Worship. Let us gather together in prayer. Loving God, in Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit, You show us that there is always room at your table for one more. There is always enough time for everyone to be listened to. There is always enough respect for everyone to be valued. There is always enough truth for everyone to grow and learn. There is always a second chance for those who once turned away. For the In You crowd is always growing and always welcoming. Lord Jesus, when our In crowd is not your crowd, forgive us and help us to build community. When our words are harsh and our actions unkind, forgive us and help us to build community. When we judge others rather than join with others, forgive us and help us to build community. When we are set in our ways and not open to change, forgive us and help us to build community. To the glory of your name, Amen. God of truth and mercy, where we break down, you build up. Where we damage, you repair. Where we blaspheme, you bless. Where we isolate, you include. Where we go wrong, you put us right. Where we confess, you forgive. Where we begin again, you are with us. In Jesus' name, Amen. And now let us join together in the prayer Jesus taught his disciples and which binds Christians wherever they are able to meet. We will use it in its more traditional format. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Good morning, and a special good morning to the children and young people listening today. I want to tell you about a man called Paul. You've maybe heard about him already, because he's mentioned many times in the Bible, and some parts of the Bible are letters he wrote to churches in places that he had visited. Paul wasn't one of the 12 apostles who served Jesus when he was alive. In fact, as a young man, he was very much against Jesus' teaching. But after Jesus died, Paul had a dream about Jesus, and he changed his mind and decided to become a missionary. Now that's a word you don't hear much these days, but a missionary was, and still is, someone who teaches people about the Bible and about Jesus, often in far-off places. Jesus had told his followers to go to all the corners of the earth to spread the gospel, which means to tell everyone they met about Jesus and what he taught us about God and about how we should live our lives. And Paul did just that. Several times he got on a boat and travelled around the ports, telling people about Jesus and encouraging them to meet together to pray and worship, just like we do today. One of the places he stopped at was called Corinth. It's still there today, although the ancient city was destroyed in an earthquake, and modern Corinth is a few miles away from where it was in Paul's time. He spoke to the people, and they started a church. It wouldn't have looked like our churches, and probably they didn't even have a special building to meet in, but they would have met together regularly to praise God and to encourage others to join them. Paul intended to come back to see how they were getting on, but he had to change his plans, and instead he wrote them a letter. Two letters, actually, but it's the second one we'll be hearing about later in the service. I wonder if any of you have ever been in the dark. Well, of course you have, but I mean the real dark, when you can't see a thing, not even your hand if you hold it in front of your eyes. I mean a dark place where there are no street lights, no houses with lighted windows, no passing cars, and certainly no mobile phones with built-in lights. I've been in a few really dark places I'd like to tell you about. The first one was in California, in America. We were staying near the sea in the far north of the state where not many people live. One night, we went out when the sky was clear, and we could see not just a few stars like you see here, but countless thousands of them covering the whole sky. In fact, they were so bright that it wasn't really dark. We could see each other just by the starlight. The second time was not far from here. We had sung a concert in a country church and came out after dark. I knew my car was just 100 yards away, but it was so dark I couldn't see the road or the fields or my friends. It wasn't until someone, probably someone that lived in the countryside and was used to the dark, switched on a torch and we were able to find the car. I'm telling you this because Paul knew that the people of the church in Corinth were in the dark. Not the sort of dark that happens at night time, but just like I couldn't see anything in the dark, they were struggling to see the meaning of the love of God and the teaching of Jesus. Paul writes to them that God sent Jesus to be like a light shining into their hearts, a light helping them to see what they had to do, how to live their lives, and how, though Jesus was no longer alive on earth, his message was for all time and all people. So next time you see a light in a dark place, remember Paul's message to the people in Corinth.
Our second hymn, My Heart is Overwhelmed.
Thank you. A reading from the book of Mark, chapter 3, verses 20 to 35. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebul. By the prince of demons he is driving out demons." So Jesus called them over to him and began to speak to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up. Then he can plunder the strong man's house. Truly, I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sins and every slander they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. They are guilty of an eternal sin. He said this because they were saying, "He has an impure spirit." Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word.
A reading from the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 5 to 12. For it is not ourselves that we preach. We preach Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. The God who said, "Out of darkness the light shall shine," is the same God who made his light shine in our hearts to bring us the knowledge of God's glory shining in the face of Christ. Yet we who have this spiritual treasure are like common clay pots in order to show that the supreme power belongs to God, not to us. We are often troubled, but not crushed, sometimes in doubt, but never in despair. There are many enemies, but we are never without a friend. And though badly hurt at times, we are not destroyed. At all times, we carry in our mortal bodies the death of Jesus, so that his life also may be seen in our bodies. Throughout our lives, we are always in danger of death for Jesus' sake, in order that his life may be seen in this mortal body of ours. This means that death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
I only have a short comment to share with you today, partly because it is a communion Sunday, and what better message than to be reminded of the breadth and depth of God's love through sharing the Lord's Supper together. But partly also because I was reminded of a hymn from the Iona community that I felt spoke to the message of the passages far better than I could. Over the last few weeks, we have been able, with gratitude, to spend some time with our families. We have enjoyed their company and getting to know in person our new granddaughters, Nora and Ember Rose, and reacquainting ourselves with young Robin, now nearly two. One of the fun things has been to compare them with pictures of their siblings or parents when they were younger. Startled to see the similarities with other family members at different times, and yet seeing how they have all developed in their unique ways. All this helped, of course, by the thousands of digital pictures that we all take on our phones, and time hops, bringing us reminders of events from 1, 2, 4, and 8 years ago. Last week, for example, it brought pictures of our older grandsons and granddaughter when they were cute. and sons with dodgy moustaches. Now, I know they won't have had time hops, but I wonder if they did the same in Jesus's family. We do know Mary, as many mothers have done since, treasured everything that happened. And so did Mary and Joseph marvel at the similarities with Jesus's siblings. Or perhaps the differences. His unique birth must surely have impacted their feelings about him. It must also have impacted on his siblings too, whether or not Mary and Joseph had explained his uniqueness to them. Was there a sense of the family living in Jesus' shadow? Imagine, for example, the story of 10-year-old Jesus debating brilliantly with the elders in the temple being part of your family legend. Hard for the parents who were worried where he was. Harder still, perhaps, for his siblings. Then, at least, Jesus spent years helping his father in the family carpenter's business. Very respectable. Perhaps better for the family. But then he meets the oddball, John the Baptist, gets baptised and leaves home saying he had a special calling from God. He had become a travelling vagabond, attracting criticism from the religious authorities and collecting crowds of all sorts on his travels. What about the family business? The family reputation? What did he think he was doing? As we heard in today's gospel reading, Jesus' family, perhaps understandably, tried to bring him back home, bring him to his senses. After all, I'm sure they would have been worried about the ramifications of his interactions with the authorities. Jesus' reaction described in verse 33, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" when their arrival was announced was, to be fair, probably not the one they would have wanted to hear. I suspect it would not have been the one you or I would have wanted to hear either. Jesus, however, does not ask this question to exclude his mothers and brothers, but rather to set the stage for expanding the concept of family to include all those who do the will of God. As he went on to say in the next two verses, "Behold, my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother." This was probably hard for his own family, who must have felt he should primarily be loyal to them. Perhaps they felt threatened, less important, or did not like the disruption. Perhaps they did not want to include outsiders who they thought may not be respectable. Sound familiar? Is that the case in your family? Perhaps more worryingly, is it the case in our church family? Jesus is whoever. However challenging, transforms the passage, though. In that one word, he opens up his family and welcomes us in. It makes no difference what the colour of our skin is, or our socioeconomic status, or our nationality, or our gender. All who do the will of God are automatically enrolled in Jesus' family circle. I am welcome. You are welcome. We are welcome. In fact, all are welcome. It was good news for those inside the house who sought to identify with Jesus and his message. It was also good news for Mark's earliest readers who found themselves estranged from their biological families. And it is obviously good news for us. We are precious in God's eyes, but so, as we are reminded in the hymn from the Iona community in a moment, is everyone else. In God's kingdom, there is room for absolutely everyone, misfits and all. As we listen then to the strangest of saints, let us give thanks that God sees each of us as unique. And as Paul reminded the Corinthians, values our ordinariness and will work through our fragility and welcomes us into his family. Let us also pray for the strength to do the same for those around us. Amen.
the strangest of saints, the simplest of souls, the saddest of all the earth rejected, are chosen to be the people in whose lives the goodness of God can be detected. Peter the rock, whose faith was often talk, Thomas who sometimes doubted, Martha who fast, lest Jesus noticed dust, and Paul by whom Christians once were routed. The strangest of saints, the simplest of souls, the saddest of all the earth's rejected, are chosen to be the people in whose lives the goodness of God can be detected. Names none can tell, a woman at the well, widows and someone's mother, men blind from birth, street children full of mirth, 10 lepers, each worse than every other. The strangest of saints, the simplest of souls, the saddest of all the earth rejected, are chosen to be the people in whose lives the goodness of God can be detected. Babes at the knee, a taxman in a tree, women by men molested, some who were bright and some who feared daylight, and many the privileged few detested. The strangest of saints, the simplest of souls, the saddest of all the earth rejected, are chosen to be the people in whose lives the goodness of God can be detected. Time can't diffuse the freshness of the news, Christ's friends are fully human. Failure and fear allow him to come near and understand every man and woman. The strangest of saints, the simplest of souls, the saddest of all the earth rejected, are chosen to be the people in whose lives the goodness of God can be detected. Who dare deride those found at Jesus' side, welcome despite their weakness? Christ, who knows all, expresses by his call the wonder of everyone's uniqueness. The strangest of saints, the simplest of souls, the saddest of all the earth rejected, are chosen to be the people in whose lives the goodness of God can be detected.
We turn now to our prayers of intercession. God of truth, we pray for those who are slandered today, for those who are struggling to protect their good name and their reputation, for those in the public eye whose lives are laid open to the world. Protect them mentally and physically, and draw them close to you. We pray for journalists who are tempted to tamper with the truth, and for those whose lives are in danger for telling the truth, especially those in Belarus. Protect them mentally and physically, and draw them close to you. We pray for sportsmen and sportswomen who face the great pressures of winning and the even greater pressures of losing. Protect them mentally and physically, and draw them close to you. We pray for families where half-truths have destroyed trust and broken down relationships, and where there is estrangement. Protect them mentally and physically, and draw them close to you. We pray for one another, especially where we have been hurt by the words of others and have felt excluded. Protect us all mentally and physically, and draw us closer to you. God of all people and all places, we pray for the interpreters and others from Afghanistan who will soon be leaving the UK. We pray that they will be welcomed and valued and drawn into the communities around them. We pray for those in this country who fear being evicted in the next days and weeks, for those struggling to pay their mortgages, for those living in hostels and temporary accommodation. We pray also for those who are worried that if restrictions are not lifted as planned later in this month, that they will lose their livelihoods, their health, their future. We pray for children and young people worried about exams and about the next step that they will take in their young lives. We pray for those excluded from school and all of those who struggle with school. We entrust to you, loving God, our communities and communities around the world that are in turmoil. We pray for our families and the families of all those who have died suddenly and violently. We pray for our church in this place, with all of its various needs, and your church in places around the world where there is division and danger. God of our brokenness, unite us. Bring healing where there is hatred, trust where there is fear, and comfort when there is grief. In Jesus' name, Amen.
We are invited to share in the memory of Jesus' last meal with his disciples, as he requests of us. The world values the famous and popular, but we invite you even if you are unknown or outcast, because this is Christ's way. The world values the rich and beautiful, but we invite you regardless of your wealth, complexion, size, or smell, because this is Christ's way. The world values the powerful, but we invite you even if you are weak, poor, or feeble, because this is Christ's way. The world values the clever, but we invite you whatever your education might be, because this is Christ's way. The world values the perfect, but we invite you regardless of your ability or disability, because this is Christ's way. In fact, we are all invited, regardless of colour, creed, gender, sexuality, or age. All are welcome. The table is ready. Our communion hymn, Longing for Light.
Oh.
Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for all to come and remember you. As we come to this table, confirm in us our belonging to you and the whole Christian community. At this table, we particularly remember our neighbours, our community, our world. Make us hungry to serve others. Make us hungry for justice. Make us hungry for the goodness of life that is your good gift. We pray also that those who don't yet know you will realise your invitation is for them and will one day be able to join with us in celebrating this remembrance feast. Amen. And so we remember that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he shared a meal with his disciples. After a prayer of thanks, he broke the bread and said, "Take and eat, for this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks to God again and said, "Drink it, all of you, for this is my blood which seals God's covenant, my blood poured out for many, for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink this wine until the day I drink the new wine with you in my Father's kingdom." God of holiness and love, you are the unseen God, yet you show yourself to the eyes of the faith. You are beyond our imagining, yet you come as one of us that we might understand. We give you thanks for this bread and wine. They represent the gifts of nature you have given us. They represent our offerings to you. We thank you that you came in Jesus to set us free. In him we see your glory. In him we see your love and forgiveness. In him we see what we might become. We give you thanks for this bread and wine. They remind us of your love. They remind us of your call to give ourselves. We offer them in love. We will take them in faithfulness. Let us receive them in thankfulness. Amen. Sometimes we are hungry and God knows this, so he gives us bread to eat. Jesus took the bread, broke it and said, "Eat, for this is my body, broken for you." The body of Christ, broken for us. Sometimes we are thirsty and God knows this, so he gives us wine to drink. In the same way, Jesus took the cup, blessed it and said, "This is my blood shed for you and for many." The blood of Christ shed for us. Let us pray. Father of all, as we have shared your body and blood, so help us share our lives with others. You came and showed us the way of a servant who cleanses and heals and brings wholeness to broken lives. Fill and empower us to accept others the way you have accepted us, and to break down the barriers that separate us. As we have fed together as the community of your church, renew and equip us for your work here today. Amen. Our final hymn, The Church's One Foundation.
Thank you.
in gratitude, in deep gratitude, for this moment, this place, these people, we give ourselves to you. Ask much from us. Expect much from us. Enable much by us. Encourage many through us. And the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us, now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you.